course, I can't find my way back without a little thing on the phone. I really don't know where I'm at. I don't know where we're at tonight. I have no idea where this place is on the map. I just know we made it. And hopefully, I'll find my way back home and back here tomorrow. We're looking forward to it. Amen. I'm not, y'all are laughing. I'm not kidding. I don't know where we're at. I looked it up on the latitude and longitude of things, so I know we're somewhere.
I don't think the people in Decatur know where.
Indicator of what? Yeah. Acts chapter 13. I want to remind you that in Acts chapter 20, Paul's going to mention to a church that Jesus died and shed his blood for the church. And what's on my heart is this, is in Acts 13, and verse 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." As we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, I want to talk to you about turning the page. Turning the page. It's always good to be where you're at, but it's always good to know where you're going.
Amen.
And by that, let me say this. How many in this building know you're going to heaven?
Amen.
Glory.
How many of you lied? Just checking. You got to ask nowadays. You got to ask. And I say that, but you still got to ask. But I want to talk to you tonight about turning the page of your church.
Amen.
But it don't begin with the building. It begins with the believers in the building.
Amen.
I am sick to death as a human being of hearing, "But the building's not in the church. The people are the church." Like I'm dumb and don't know that. I'm dumb, but I know that. The people are the church. But then I read Paul telling the young pastor in 1 Timothy 3 to behave thyself in the house of God.
Amen.
A building, a place. And I got to thinking about, the Lord let him heart, two churches tonight to talk to you about turning the page. One never got off the page, the other turned the page. And that decision, what you do here, is based on what you do off the biblical record of these two. Number one church, if you'll think about this, as we look at this chapter, you've got missionaries at work, you've got the ordination, confirmation, declaration, exhortation, and persecution of ministries, all of missionaries, excuse me, in this chapter. And there's some biblical truths we must adhere to in what we would call the 21st century church. None of which has to do with you turning this into a contemporary opera house or a grand old Opry church or a cowboy outfit or I don't want to call the other thing out, but it'd be really bad and I can't say them words no more. But they act like a bunch of sodomites in them.
Yeah, amen.
And they usually have one leading the singing too in them places.
Yes.
I'm not for that stuff. I preach against it all the time. I'm the bad guy and the black sheep because of it. But I'll be ashamed to walk down the streets of golden heaven and say, "Lord, I have the old time way."
Yeah.
And I'll be reminded of Jeremiah 6. God will say, "I told you to do that."
Yeah.
Seek them old paths.
Amen.
Now, having said that, let me say this. I noticed that there's three ways we stay by the old stuff. We stay by the book, number one. I heard a liberal in town say the other day that we don't worship the book. Now, I don't know what he was thinking, but I read in Psalm 54 twice where it said, "In God we praise his word."
Amen.
That's not worshiping the book. That's the number two thing. That's worshiping the author. You stand by the book and you stand by its author.
Amen.
Have y'all ever heard of Bill Grady or William P. Grady, as it were?
Amen.
I think I told y'all this the last time I was here, but I enjoyed his book, Find Authority. It was very informative.
Amen.
But when he wrote the second book, I was kind of there for most of that. He came to the church part and was writing it, and I drug him out of the library one day and took him fishing. I can tell when they suffer in burnout. I'm seeing a mile away. We didn't catch one fish, but I almost pushed him in the water, and that was worth going right there on its own. Anytime you get a guy from New York down south and he thinks he's a southerner, take him fishing right away. Amen.
Amen.
Take him to a pond where there's no game board going to fool with you and all that stuff and go have some fun. But when I read that second book, when I read the first word, I heard his voice because, you know, he talks like this right here. Yeah. And the way he wrote is the way he talks.
Yeah.
So I went back and read the first book, and I got it. Then I read that one, got it. He said, I'm coming out with a new book. I said, how thick is it? He said, 1 inch. I said, that's only half the size of the last one. Sure, you ain't got more left. If you want to know why those 9/11 planes crashed, he tells so in that third book is how Satan turned America against God. There's a whole chapter on that, and it's biblically why that happened to this country.
Yeah.
I don't know if you read much, but you ought to read that. But listen to this. We also stay by God's words. You know why? Once you hear the author in your heart, now that you're reading it, you can stand it a little bit better.
Amen.
First Chronicles is a drag. Can I get an amen right there? I'm not being blasphemous. Listen, you and the Holy Ghost know that's a rough read right there. Something you can't pronounce, but get something else you can't pronounce.
Yeah.
But once you hear the author, you kind of see how the thing goes. And if it ever occurs to you that they're going to tell you how Jesus got here, it'll make really good sense out of the whole thing. He's only your Savior. He's only the God of creation, and that's a record of Him coming to you. That makes all the difference in the world. I unread it fine. Before, my Bible reading plan didn't have that in it. You know why I didn't make it past Genesis chapter 2? I was a lost man trying to read the Bible. It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Then I got saved, and I was like, man, this stuff's great. I wish everybody knew this. But you stay by the book, you stay by the author, you stay by the words. And we look at these two very different churches, and I'm using the church at Antioch and the church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem, as we start off this study tonight, is this. They majored on money.
Yeah.
You know any churches like that?
Amen.
That's all they talk about is money. We're having a fundraiser here. We're having a bake sale over here. We're having this over here. We're having double tithe Sunday. We're having a day we're going to come in and, honest to God, I've heard it. It wasn't in my church, but I heard it somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was at a church one time that they took 30 minutes announcing before I got up to start the revival meeting on Sunday morning and how they're going to raise money for the teenagers to go to the beach. And I thought, this is nuts. Why are you raising money to send kids to the beach to fornicate? That's not what the church is here for.
That's right.
I don't care if you got a basketball team. That ain't why we're here.
Right.
I said, the best way you know I'm dead is if we get a basketball team or a football team at our church. If we get one of them, you know I'm dead. That ain't what we do. We're not there to do all that. We're there to get the gospel up. That's what the church is there for.
Amen.
We got to have something for the youth. We got to have something for the old people, too. I think we ignore old people and say, we just do it for the kids. I believe in Gaffney, South Carolina, you can sacrifice a boar on the altar at First Baptist, and as long as you said you was doing it for the kids, it'd be okay, and everybody attend.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we're brainwashed by that stuff. But having said all this, let me say this. This church was the only church in the Bible I found that other churches took up money for the people that went to church there. Paul said in Romans 15, verse 26, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Only church they did that for. Now, you might wonder what happened to them. I'll get to that in a minute. But they were a money-hungry church, and they majored on money. Why'd they do that? Because they forgot what missions was for, because they lost what they had when they was originally there, and when everybody finally figured out what to do, they were broke and couldn't do it. Now, picture that. You got to have money, I understand, but don't major on money.
Right.
I've done a lot in my life. It's probably some of it was mean. I'll be honest and admit to it. I preached on hell and tithing on Easter Sunday morning. You know why? Because that's when the people showed up needed to hear about hell and tithing. Saying the same message? No, it was a series. I done one Easter and one the next.
Amen.
Fair enough, ain't it, brother? Well, like I kept them there 2 hours and done it like I'm going to do y'all tonight. They also majored on miracles. And let me say this. Those 12 apostles that were there at Jerusalem could literally raise the dead.
Amen.
They could heal sick. They could open blind eyes.
because their Lord told them they would do that and more once he left. And they did.
Yeah.
But there's one thing about miracles, whether fake or real, it draws a crowd. I was reading Acts chapter 3 this afternoon. It says in verse 9 and 10, all the people saw him walking and praising God, talking about the guy that they healed. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. If you were able to heal a man tonight, this whole town knew was a cripple, that sat out at the courthouse gates or wherever asking for money and help. If your pastor could touch that man and heal him, it would draw so big a crowd next night that you wouldn't know what to do yourself.
Amen.
You'd say, I thought we had 1,600 people here. You'd have 2,400 here get being one to say, I'm next.
Yeah, yeah.
But what we got in this day and age is we got a bunch of fakers that claim apostolic succession and apostolic power and can't prove either one.
Right.
So how do you know that? Well, because these guys never went to the Bilo Center to do what they did. So what's the Bilo Center? A 23,000 seat auditorium back home. I've never seen Peter, James, and John in a building like that, but I've seen Benny Hinn come over there a couple times. I've seen Oral Ripoff and Jimmy Slackert and all the rest of this crowd get up and do that stuff. And they all come back with one thing. None of them can do what those guys can do.
Right.
And I want to tell you with the nicest possible way I can tell you is if you're holding your tithe back from this church and sending it to them, God bless you, call them when you die and let them come preach you. Oh, wait a minute, they're not coming. I knew this was going to be rough, but we're going to continue on. We're going to get to the good part in a minute. But knowing that this church majored on miracles, that was one thing. They really did have them. They had them. They didn't sell a book on how to keep you healing, because the Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, what God doeth, it shall be forever. If one of these guys healed you, you were healed from their own.
Amen.
And I noticed that when you deal with a lot of these things about healing nowadays, some people believe God doesn't heal anymore. Some people believe he does and on that. He's still the same God.
Amen, right?
But there is this one part about God you need to learn. Some of this affliction we get is simply this. It's our stupidity and God lets us be like that.
Right.
And then he takes the scrapings of us and makes something out of us.
Right.
Whether you're ever healed or not.
Right.
I've heard these guys get up on TV, it's God's will for you to be healed. And they're wearing glasses. If it was God's will for them to be healed, then Benny Hinn could touch Oral Roberts and give him some new eyes, and he wouldn't have to ever go back to the eye doctor ever again. By the way, when Oral Roberts died, he had a heart attack and went to a Baptist hospital. Maybe that's what killed him. I don't know. But I know when they get sick, they come to us.
Yeah.
Two famous people that you know of right now died in a Baptist hospital, or was pronounced dead in a Baptist hospital. Oral Roberts and Elvis Presley. Think on that for a little bit. So who do you think was real out of the two of them? Elvis Presley by a long shot. They majored on multitudes in the church at Jerusalem. I was taught, can I turn this fan back here off? Can I turn it off? Brother, would you turn it off for me? I feel like I'm hurricaning up here. I keep hearing stuff blowing, and it's probably this microphone. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. There you go.
Sounds like I'm preaching in a hurricane. You know, it's power of God. You know.
There we go.
Now, what I was taught when I was coming through Bible college the first time was I was taught wrong. Okay? I was taught that in Acts chapter 1, they gathered together and had this miraculous prayer meeting, and the things of God shook the thing, and blah, blah, blah. Okay? Chapter 2, Peter stood up on Pentecost, and he preached, and thousands were saved. Young man, get you a church. Make thousands, make your goal, thousands to be saved. Sound good so far? Acts chapter 3, multitudes get saved. Acts chapter 4, they gathered around when they got in trouble for healing the guy at the gate. They got a little slap on the wrist. With the next chapter, the earth shook where they prayed and more thousands got saved. Then Acts chapter 5, the part they never even mentioned in Bible college.
Yeah.
It's where the first two got slain in the spirit. Ananias and Sapphira walk in and lied to Peter's face, and God killed them right there on the whole, in the front of the church. And before they got him took out good, his wife come in. He said, I'm glad to see you. He said, did you and your husband covenant for such a price? And she lied, and boy, she is dead with him. That's slain in the spirit. So how you know it's slain in the spirit? Well, God the Father wasn't there, and God the Son wasn't there. So who killed them if God killed them? They were slain in the spirit. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? And then thousands got saved, and blah, blah, blah. I never heard how they were racially prejudiced in Acts chapter 6. Yeah. Oh, you mean it's the blacks and whites? No, it was the Hebrews and the Grecians. Yeah. Did you know everybody's born that way? Everybody is. Don't say you wasn't born that way. You were born that way. Unless we look at how God picked a Jew, one man, Abraham, and had the smallest bunch of people in the world and picked them out and favored them above every other race, country, and creed in this world, that would make God a racist at that point, wouldn't it? Jewish lives matter. They matter so much to God that when he let them start a church, he just divorced Israel for a time. He didn't do away with her. Jeremiah said there's going to come a time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel picked up on that reading Jeremiah's book over in Daniel chapter 11. Said, I learned this reading from Jeremiah. And listen, he said that God's going to turn his attention again towards that Jew. And guess what 7-year time period that's called? The Great Tribulation. What's the difference between then and now? Christ will take the church out of the way and God deals with the Jew.
Right.
Don't you feel sorry for all them Calvinists that sitting around, we replaced the Jew. No, you didn't.
Amen.
You did not replace that Jew. God is far from done with that Jew. And after 7 years of great tribulation, the armies of Russia, China has built 5 hydroelectric dams out of all that aluminum they've got so they can march 1 million men right down to the Middle East to try to get them on that side. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and all the other Muslim nations are coming this way. And for all those people that say there's no America in Bible prophecy, somebody's coming from the seaside over here on this side. Wonder who that was or will be. There's only a few choices. It's either Mexico or us. And they're not known for a big navy over there, I don't think. And you take God out of this country, the first thing they do is holler about that Jew all the time, don't they? Do you realize that Barack Obama gave 5 minutes to Netanyahu one day at the end of the day, smoked a cigarette, drank a beer, and then told him to come in the back door and then put him out 5 minutes later? Then Donald Trump comes in and makes Jerusalem the capital again and moves their embassy there, and the whole world's mad.
Yeah, yeah.
You get the picture now?
Yeah.
Well, just imagine this. If we were to rapture out of here tonight, look what's in charge now. That'd be the guy to be over the Navy that would come that side. Incredible, ain't it? So do you think we'd do that? You take God out of this country, there ain't no telling what we'd do.
That's right.
I never dreamed there'd be an abortion clinic right across the road from Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, but there's one sitting there. They go through more pastors over there, and they go through patients over the other one. Unbelievable. You got all that stuff happening. You get to chapter 6. You get all those arguments over there because one thought one got more than the other one. And then chapter 7, a guy named Stephen gets killed at the end of that chapter. But wait, I forgot this part. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus didn't say stay in Jerusalem at all. He said to go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he said go to 4 distinct places. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And what'd they do? Nothing. They built a mega church. Oh, if you could just come down to our church at Jerusalem for just one service, you'd see how much the power of God's there. Didn't your friends ever invite y'all to them outfits with that same line?
Yeah.
What? They do that here too? Yeah. I thought just our crowd back home did that. Or my other favorite, you've got to come see our children's programs.
Yeah.
Really? Wait a minute. I know what y'all are. Y'all aren't a church at all. Y'all are a great big babysitting outfit, ain't you? You babysit the adults in one place and tickle their ears, and you babysit the kids in another and tickle their ears. Is that what you're doing? Be honest.
Yeah.
So you can have a crowd.
No.
Seriously, they do that here too?
Yeah.
Yes. Golly. Brother, listen, I didn't know. This is great. So we're kind of on the same page now, so let's turn the page. Acts chapter 8, something happens. Saul of Tarsus heads out with papers in his hands to get everybody killed that believed on Jesus.
Yeah.
We think persecution is when a little old lady says, I don't like how you preached on such and such.
Yeah.
How about if she killed you?
Yeah.
How about the next service they disagreed, they just come up and shot you?
Yeah.
And nobody would do nothing to them about it. Ain't that something? He goes, listen, Jesus sees Pontius Pilate, he puts him to death. Paul goes and sees him, he gets papers to go kill all the Jews and that has professed Christ. Typical politician, right?
Yeah.
Now listen to me. Here's the difference between the church at Jerusalem and the church at Antioch that we just read about in chapter 13. Number one, can I tell you tonight that they majored on ministers? Look at verse 1 of Acts chapter 13. It says here, now there were at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. These are ministers now. It says, as Barnabas and Simeon, and it says there's Lucius down there, Manaen and Saul, five men out there. They majored on ministers. If you look at each man's name, you'll see something out of them. Barnabas' name, he is the son of the prophet, and his name was the son of consolation, is what his name meant. What did he have? He had a message of consolation to everybody that had turned their back on God in Genesis chapter 3 all the way to present day. His message was a message of consolation where God said, if you'll choose Jesus, I'll wipe away the penalty of you rejecting him. Wouldn't you like to have that as your name? I think I want to name one of my kids after it's too late. My wife says we're done. I'm ready for 10 more. She's just not ready for it. I told her she is old. Hi, honey. Now listen to me. You got another guy there. Your wife's yet young. Maybe you could have a... No, okay. The next guy's name's named Simeon. And his name is a Hebrew name, just like one of the 12 sons of Jacob over there. And his name means hearing. So what's different, Simeon, all the rest of the guys named Simeon in his day? Probably my sheep hear my voice in John 10:27, and I know them.
Yeah.
He heard from the Lord. Another guy's name there, Lucius. There was a principal back in Gaffney, South Carolina, when my son first went to school, named Lucius. He introduced himself to me and said, my name's Lucius in the Bible, and I had no idea what he was talking about, but I knew that day what he was. I went home and looked. You know how you read by names and never think about it. Then some guy comes up and has got a Bible name. He tells you and you go, uh-huh, and you don't know what he's talking about. But his name means born in the morning. And it means light. I got to looking at that and I remembered something. Just reading the definition, I remember this. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. And when you get him as the light, he looks at you and says, ye are the light of the world in Matthew 5, verse 14. This guy got born again. And his light so shone that people knew what he was shining for. I've been accused of being a cheerleader for Jesus. Well, amen, at least you know what team I'm pulling for. Thank God. And this other guy with the strange name, Manaen, his name literally means comforter and consoler. Jesus said in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So what's that guy? Oh, he's just full of the Holy Ghost. Don't mind him.
Yeah.
Say, well, did he flop around on the floor and have them fits and swing? No, he comforted people because he saw that's what God have him do. And that's what he'd have you do. When somebody gets down, comfort them. You may never have to walk in their shoes, and God may bless you not to suffer as they suffered, but when you get down, they'll come comfort you because you comforted them. It'll all work itself way around. I never thought in my life I'd be comforting the people I've comforted But boy, when my time come, God sure sent them back my way.
Amen.
The last guy's name is one of the guys being ordained here named Saul. And Pastor, I have heard and even said stuff that made for good preaching but wasn't truth, and I didn't know it. Amen.
Amen.
I would kick my leg up, my back's killing me right now. Saul's name does not mean big and Paul means little. But that does make for good preaching, don't it? Because Saul was real tall. And you find out later Paul was a little guy that's half blind. Favorite Bible preacher, by the way, for obvious reasons. But Saul's name means asked. Like you ask a question. You get to thinking about him too long, you're going to wind up Matthew chapter 7 saying, "Ask and ye shall receive." So did he do that? Well, about four chapters earlier he did. He got saved. You know what he asked? "Lord, what shall you have me do?"
Amen.
So what was that? Turning the page. He went from being a God-hating persecutor to a missionary. And the first time he ventured away from where he was supposed to be at to go try to go to Jerusalem, you know what happened? They wanted to kill him because they thought he wanted to kill them. They end up having to let him down over the wall in a basket by night to get him out of there alive. He never took the hint. He just kept on going back to places where they didn't want him. You read over in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians about what they did to him. Look up the word "me" and run through them two books. They tried to kill me. They persecuted me. They stoned me. They did, you know, over and over and over. Left me for dead.
Yeah.
I've never met a man that said he was Pauline in his theology that was ever Pauline in his preaching. What's funny is to go to college and see some of these jokers driving a Volkswagen Beetle from 1972 and a pipe smoking in one hand and talking about they believe like Paul. And they don't even go to church. Bunch of glorified five-point Calvinists that couldn't find the book of Exodus with both hands and a table of contents and any language. Just saying. But I look at that and I say, these guys at the church at Antioch majored on ministers. They wanted to help preachers get to where they were going. It's hard to run 5,000 when you keep ordaining them and sending them out places.
Yeah. Amen.
I read about a church in North Carolina, and y'all have to help me with the name of it. But
Sandy Creek.
Sandy Creek. Every time they had 100 or 200 people, they'd send 50 out to go start a church somewhere. And then they'd send 50 more out to start a church somewhere else. And by the way, these weren't splits. They were legitimate church plants. We'd done the same thing in Cherokee County back home, but we just split them.
Yeah.
First split, we had a first and a second Baptist, and a second and a third Baptist. And then they left, went down here and became 4th Street Baptist and 5th Street. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
We didn't do it the right way. We wanted the biblical model, but we just couldn't, you know, seem to get to that point in our lives. But what I do notice is they kept sending people out of this church at Antioch. Brother Raleigh Lindsay and Brother John Waters, the late Dr. Waters, went to Israel. I think he went 46 times, I was told. And one of the tours they went on where they toured the churches of Southern Asia over there. You know what they found in every place? A building that had been destroyed and it wasn't as big as this room. Oh, and I remember their names. The church at Smyrna, the church at Ephesus, the church at Thyatira. And the biggest set of ruins they had that was double-sized all of them was the church at Corinth.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Amen.
Believers meeting in a building on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And they wasn't as big as you.
Yeah.
Except for Corinth, they were double your size. But you see what he wrote to them.
Yeah, amen.
You're talking about an epistle of rebuke. I'm glad I named the church something different than Corinth. I kind of like Simple Faith Baptist Church now, don't you? I thought, you know, y'all might think, well, that's just too simple of a name. But it's such a good name. It's real simple. You can't forget it. Church of Corinth, oh, you're one of them churches. You know, you hear that stuff. But they majored on ministers, and they helped get these men of God to where God called them to be. Secondly, about them, they majored on ministry. Verse 2 says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Now, notice how this verse works. They were already doing something for Jesus. They ministered to the Lord. They were already doing something. And then it says, and fasted. That means the church was taking time to fast. Now, I know that we try to get out, we try to wiggle our way out of this by saying, well, now, Brother Greg, the Bible says when you fast not to let nobody know. Okay? Then y'all get together and fast and don't tell nobody else outside this church that you're fasting. How do you think they did it? Somebody had to make the decision. Somebody had to make the announcement. Somebody had to do it. And here's the thing. They did it. And it was after that that God called somebody else out of there. God already called them. They were waiting. But when the church fasted, he told the church too. And if the church don't tell you to send out somebody, don't send them out. Being able to brag down at the local coffee shop that you've got 10 preacher boys out of your church is not impressive to God. Because there's enough mama called and daddy called preachers out there to fill a barn. And I don't know if y'all talk like this, but the barn's full of horse manure. You don't know. I've had to meet kids or preachers' kids, and they claim they called to preach. And that's some of the worst Christians I've ever met in my life. And I'm not talking about when we went to junior high together. I'm talking about last week.
Amen.
They pastor churches, and it's a mess. You got some of them that's really good to do something for God, but there is no in-between. Then the other crowd's way over here in evil. There's no in-between. They're either really good or really bad. There was a guy that they was bringing along one time, and I don't know if Brother Kersey remember this guy, if I can think of his name, but they brought him in one of them fellowships. Oh, his daddy was a missionary, greatest missionary. Now we're going to know he's going to do great things for God. He was with a woman 2 weeks later. 2 weeks. While he was the next big thing. Be careful how you promote people like that, because you put a big target on them, the devil's going to shoot the target.
Yeah,
amen.
He's a good shot, by the way. He's 7 billion and 0 against humans.
Amen.
Boy, the Lakers can't even comprehend how good a record that is, can they? Now listen to this. He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, two particular men, for the work whereunto I called them. God called them, then God told the church he called them. And he said, separate me them. You know what that means? They won't be back to Sunday school next week. They're giving up their class on Wednesday night. They're not going to teach at your Bible Institute. I'm going to put them out and do the same thing somewhere else.
Yeah.
Crazy, ain't it?
Yep. Amen.
This goes against every church growth book you'll ever read.
Amen.
But it is God's book. And then the strangest thing, they majored on missions in verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. There it is. They fasted in Isaiah 58, verse 6 through 11. If you ever get over and read that, Isaiah talks about a fast that the Lord sends. It's one that breaks bondage.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, we need that in churches so much the more today than we did then.
Yeah.
There are people under the roofs of our churches. God bless them. They need help, and we can't give it to them.
Yeah.
But fasting will break those bonds. He was talking about a certain brother a while ago who was in our church doing great. Somebody fasted and prayed for that guy. Somebody did. You know how I know that? He's not in jail tonight. There's something about that thing. If God ever breaks that cycle in life, don't help him to go back and change things over again. It said they prayed. They prayed believing God would use Saul and Barnabas to go out and do the work that God called them to do. Can you imagine that? I mean, as simple as I just said that. Here, you go do this, and you go do it.
Yeah.
And we're going to pray and believe God's going to send you out there and do it.
Yeah.
Now, here's the good part. They laid their hands on them. I know a few folks in churches, we need to lay our hands on them. But not like this. We just need to lay our hands on them. If a man beats his wife in church, I don't think we should ever call bullies. Never call the police on him. You know why? Well, I'm sure, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 men, we can handle it. I know some of us have backaches and knee aches and everything else, but we could all get together and do one great job, and that fix that problem.
Yeah.
So you say about violence? I didn't say that. You thought it. I just said it. I said we could get together and fix the problem. But they ordained these men. Can I tell you that ordination is nothing you ever receive by mail?
Yeah.
Do y'all ever read the National Enquirer? Did you know Elvis is still alive?
Yeah.
He's got to be 100 years old, but he's still alive. Did you know the aliens have invaded our planet, in particular in the White House? I watched that presidential speech today. I know where one of them landed. Because he sounds as foreign to America as I've ever seen an American president say something. Oh, and then there's that one magazine I forgot that I used to... See, I never buy this stuff. I just... Because everybody's doing food stamps and coupons in front of me, so I got time to kill now. And they used to be called the Weekly World News, and it went out of print, and I was so depressed the week after it went out of print, because that was the greatest stories ever. Aliens invade. And they'd tell where it wasn't Area 51. It would be like here.
Yeah.
Bentonville, Arkansas. Aliens have invaded, but nobody knows it. You know, and they'd write the whole story. And I'm wrapped up in this. My wife's like, what are you doing? I said, reading. Shh. It's important stuff here. I'm finding out where they're at. And Bigfoot. Oh my God, Bigfoot's alive still. I thought he died in the 70s. He's in Shelby, North Carolina. That's 20 minutes from my house. I went up there every day hunting Bigfoot. You say, well, that Weekly World News. No, I saw this on YouTube. It was real. About 5 years ago, a dude claims he pulled out his cell phone and taped Bigfoot walking across the road. It looked just like I thought Bigfoot would look. So I went and tried that same thing. And maybe he knows I got the camera on, why it don't come out, I don't know. But listen to me carefully. In that same magazine, if you want to be ordained, you can send off papers and be ordained by some Fruit Loop over the thing. You say, are you serious? You ever heard of Eddie Van Halen? You won't admit it because your pastor's listening, but you know who that is. Do you know his brother Alex Van Halen is an ordained minister and he done his last wedding before he died? Did Jack Hiles ordain him? Joel Osteen didn't even ordain him. You see where I'm going with this? Anybody can be an ordained minister. Anybody. But these that count are the ones that God sent out of the local church.
Right.
That church ordained them because God said, do it.
That's right.
And you probably never hear much more out of Barnabas other than the next two chapters, but he did do something.
Yeah.
Say, well, wait a minute. He made a bad decision. Okay, how many bad decisions have you made and you never made the book? God will use anybody that'll let him, even if for a short time. But then it says they sent them away. I always kind of wonder, you know, we see things like we have revival meetings. Let's say 50 people got saved in the next 3 days. While we'd be on the phone saying, Grandma, you never guess what happened to church this week. But what if the week after God sent 40 of them out to China to be missionaries over there where they don't even speak Chinese? They got to go to language school. They got to learn the Bible before they go to language school. And there went you 50 people.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're a mathematician, and you caught me. There's 10 of them missing, right? Well, that's the 10 you baptized that first week that you'll never see again.
Yeah.
So what is that? Margin for error.
Yeah,
you'll never believe this story, but he was there, and he wouldn't lie to you. We were in the attic putting a steeple on the church. You know, got a steeple. When he saw the bat, he turned to tell me, and I was already halfway down the ladder. I didn't want to sense two of us getting killed and falling through that roof. Because I know if I saw it and he saw it at the same time, we'd crash and we'd fall. So I called the exterminator. I said, I need you to get rid of some bats. He said, how many you got? I said, I have no idea. I said, I know there's one great big one, but the rest, I mean, you ever seen the movie where he grabs it and says, I'm Batman? That's what I saw. Them big wings come up. I didn't see how that movie ended. I was gone. But when he showed up like that, the exterminator said, I can't do it. It's against the law for me to do that. You can't kill bats. And I'm like, do you know them things, what they've been doing up there in our roof? He said, besides mating, yes, they've been putting toxic waste in your roof up there. I said, yeah. Somebody's going to have to get rid of that. He said, why'd you call me? I said, because I can't go back up there. I'm scared to death of them. He done that thing, and, you know, I'm gone. But he gave me the number of the Batman. Doesn't that sound, don't you wish that was your job? I'm Batman, you know. So the guy came out, and he brought two guys, two ladders, and a spray bottle. Yeah, isn't that weird? One guy's on one side of the building. He's putting up a screen. Not a movie screen, you worldly thing. A screen like on a screen door.
Yeah.
And the other guy's on the other side of the ladder up there, and he's got his down there at the bottom. So I look at the Batman, and I said, what exactly are you going to do? He said, preacher, hadn't you ever heard that if you baptize these things, they'd leave? And I thought, that's a bad joke when preachers tell it. He said, well, y'all are Baptists. I'm a Methodist. I'm going to take this bottle, I'm going to sprinkle them, we're going to get rid of them forever. God is his witness. He crawled up in there, that thing, got a thing of cold water right out of their water fountain. He had the other guy waiting down here. He got up there and just... And boy, there's 100 bats come out of our roof in that church. And that they was just on one side. Imagine if they'd grown, they'd kept going. It looked like Dracula lived up there, all of them hanging upside down. And I'm watching this thinking, if I'd have just baptized them like a Methodist, we could have been done with them already. But as soon as they left out, because they don't like cold water apparently, the other guy runs up the ladder and tacks that screen up. We ain't had a bat since. I went and looked for him a while back just to make sure. It's been about 15 years. Once you get burned like that one time, you'll check the second time, see. When there's nobody there but you, you'll sneak the ladder up there just to go see. No bats. Now, we may have everything else, but we ain't got no bats. So what'd you do? We sent them away to never come back again. Are you listening to me yet? Imagine getting attached. What if some cute little boy comes in here and he's just your age and all this other stuff, and God sends him away to Russia or to Iraq? Do you know what they do to people who start Baptist churches in Iraq? I couldn't describe it to you because it's that bad. And then some fag's going to tell me, well, we get persecuted all the time, and you churches never get... Please. Please. You ever heard of Mary's Land here in America that was run by the Catholics that hated Baptists and put us all to death up there before?
Amen.
You should really study history better.
Yeah.
They didn't kill the Presbyterians on American soil, but they did kill us Baptists. What if God said, Pastor, I'll send you 100, but I'm going to take 90? Are you ready for that kind of loss? Well, you may have to hear about them the next time, like we do some of our soldiers that'll never come back. There must be something about you that wants to do right. But it's not you, it's him. He wants to do right. He wants to pray them in and then fast them out and pray them out. You know what the good thing you got going here is? You're in the prime spot to Turn the page. I'm not talking about your usual type of stuff. I'm talking about God getting them in and God sending them out. There's missionaries right now that are in the awfulest place in America, known as South Dakota. You said, that's not a mission field. Have you been there lately? Have you been to Wyoming lately in the last 30 days? You know what they hate out there? You outsiders coming in with your God. But we're all Americans. Yeah, but you're a stranger. And you talk funny. A missionary went out to Montana, out of our Bible college, said he got there and had the biggest shock of his life. He asked the guy, are you saved? He says, from what? He didn't even know the answer to the question. How about that? I picked on you. Give me a pick on your brother right quick. Suppose God sends this nice looking girl in that's your age and she really likes you, but then she says, I only want to be married to a missionary, and I think God wants me to be married to a missionary that's going to, I don't know, Australia, where they would really think you talk funny. Yeah. And that would be cool, except for back row back there would say, you're not taking my grandkids way down yonder. Not that you would, but you might. I noticed when your daughter sang, everybody's on the platform, you come up here, they all scattered. I'm just saying. I picked up the vibes right away. But listen to this. And then aunt beside you said, yeah, you can't take the nephew and niece there. This really happened to a guy that went to England that we supported. And you think you got a crazy parents? Guess what he had? He had one of them patriot dudes. You know, the kind that won't pay taxes and got locked up for all that stuff with Ken Hovind? One of them guys. You talking about sitting through something. You're on the tarmac coming off the thing where grandma's been crying about the grandbabies, and by the time you get to the country you're going to, they're already in jail, and you got to turn around and come back. Isn't that something? So what do? You turn the page and go on anyway. You have to. Because those people aren't going to hear the gospel until we get out of our comfort zone and our crowds. I don't know what the biggest church around here is, but I'm guessing this. It probably runs 2,000 to 3,000 somewhere in 100 miles here. You know why I'm not preaching for them tonight? Because they can't identify with me. You know why? We have two very different philosophies when it comes to the Bible. I believe every words of God, every one of them. I believe in it so much I've gave my whole life to it. I've lost friends because of it and relatives. Exactly. Not in a mean way. Just in the fact when God says don't drink, I don't drink.
Exactly.
I lost half my friends right there. But God created marijuana. It grew from the ground. Yeah, but he didn't say roll it up and smoke it. And there went the rest of them.
Yeah.
Just those two little things. Now imagine when we come to church and we come on Sunday night, not just Sunday morning. Now we're really weirdos. But here's the killer part of it. Now I've been around long enough to see his baby become a man. Isn't that great? High school graduation. Oh my. He dates a girl from West Virginia. Oh my. What if she feels led to go to daddy's church and not ours? Oh my. Wouldn't that just be sad, Brother Kirsch? You don't have to say anything. They know you watch and they ain't gonna do it. But listen to me carefully. What if my son's the next one out the door going to some place that I'd never see except on a map? Are you willing to take a loss like that? And my favorite thing of all, but I'm retired. I don't have to do all that. How old do you think it is when God quits sending people out? Can I remind you of something? None of these guys were 21 in this chapter. They were all older. And one of them didn't quit till they cut his head off in a Roman prison. God uses gray-haired people, Brother Mitch. I hate to tell you that. I don't mean no disrespect either, but I mean, people look at old preacher, he's an old guy. He want to do. God still uses old people. You know how I know that? He's got so many of them still alive, and they're tough. That's why they're old. We're moving Simple Faith Baptist Church again. Okay, I don't doubt it. God uses old people, amen. Is that right? I'm not being disrespectful to your pastor. Don't even think that. But some of y'all look at him and say, oh, he's an old man. He's just old-fashioned, old fogey. God's still using him. You know why? It still bothers you when he preaches. So you've been talking to the pastor, not near as enough as I should be, so I could have names and dates, but I've noticed this. God uses him. I watch his preaching, and I like it. If I agreed with everything and said, there, say, oh, he just blesses my heart, I'd never listen to him. I want somebody to say something that I don't like every once in a while. It's them, oh, I just want to help you and encourage you. We're up to our nose in it, and we're not doing nothing for God now. We don't even say the name of Jesus around Muslims anymore. We're so scared of them. I heard two punks talk the other night. I said, how do you know these punks? Because they said this. And you know what else offended me? I thought, I wish I could be there. To tell you, you're not even a man yet.
Yeah.
And men don't say those words. Those are for lawyers and sodomites. Are you listening to me yet?
Amen.
You got a 7-year-old boy back there. Ain't that how old he was? You said 7. Are you talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking about you. What if God raises him up? Could you stand to ordain him and see him go? I know he's just a kid now, but he'll grow up. They always do, and they eat everything.
Amen.
What if God sent him out to Japan? You know how evil Japan is? Here's how evil Japan is. They have monkeys that hang out in the woods, and they tell the people that stay in the motel, don't open the door for them.
Yeah.
And if one gets in and kills you, they do nothing about it. That's evil. Over here, we'll put a dog down for that, but over there, a monkey gets to live.
Yeah.
And you ask, how did they get there? I don't know either. But I'm not going there to find out if they really do that. But I'm going to support a guy that is. But the next kid's him. I ain't forgot about you in the back. What if you next? Who's going to run your video thing then? Who's going to turn the sound up and down and turn on the wrong track a while ago, was it? The song was still good. You should have kept going and sung it again. You should have said, I hadn't practiced, but yeah, let's do it again, you know, or something like that. That's what all the other gospel singers do, right?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, what if God calls your son to the prison? You know, I've been scared to death in there before when I preached. I'm glad he goes instead of me.
Yeah.
I had to thank God, listen. Guy threatened to kill me in there one time, and I told him to do it. You know why? Because I was 25 years old, and I was mean as the devil back then, too. Until he charged the platform. I said, thank God for 40 saved men that piled on top of him to them dudes with the badges come in and took him out and tied up like a hog. You know what I've never said again? When they say, I'll kill you, I just ignore them. It's like they're not even there now. You're young and stupid. You get older, you may learn one or two things. That's my one or two. Are you willing to let God take somebody out of here yet? We like to get the 50, but we don't like sending 40 out. But here's the other thing about it. God can do more with this crowd right here in this town than he can with 200 just like you. All these things that y'all are giving out, that'll be accounted for in heaven. Don't worry about that. God's keeping the score right now.
Amen.
And for everybody that got one of them said, that crazy bunch, they must be homeless and just threw it away. God remembers that.
Amen.
I mean, nobody does this. I would have came just for that. What is this? We missed it, brother. Well, never mind this. I don't like that anyway.
Now we use that for him, that.
To get this out, yeah. And here's this crazy thing about this. That thing you put messages out with, they're going to watch your preacher preach under the cover with a flashlight, afraid their wife's going to hear them listening to them with earbuds in, and God's going to get to them and help them.
Amen.
True story. It's equivalent, this right here is equivalent to a Southern Baptist reading the Sword of the Lord at night when nobody's watching.
Yeah. Amen.
God uses it. Let God use you and let God send through here who He'll send through. There's more money will come through here than He'll ever stay here. Don't let that be no matter. Still support missionaries.
Amen.
You're so, what's that thing about sowing over there?
Yeah.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he all reap. That's a twofold thing. You sow the bad, you get bad. You sow the good, you get good.
Exactly.
The crops just take a long time to grow. And God will bless you for it. He's blessed me for what you're doing already. I enjoy your company. Whether you like me or not, I like you.
Amen.
Amen. But what kind of church do you want here? This is like a fresh start, isn't it?
Amen.
It's kind of like nobody knows who you are really around here, do they?
No.
You're like an outside force coming in to steal their religion. Well, God bless you. I hope you steal all of it. You got 1,600 and some odd prospects here. And that's just the ones that record in the census.
Yeah.
You can get the migrant workers when they get off the bus or up at McDonald's, either one. They're here. Wouldn't it be something if you got them to the Lord and they didn't vote Democrat? Wouldn't that be great?
Amen.
There's no telling what God may do here in this town. But you got to be willing to do one thing. Just simply this. Turn the page on it.
Amen.
You know what happened after Acts chapter 13? Can I tell you? Acts chapter 14.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. Didn't that guy Paul die? Not in Acts, he didn't. He never dies in Acts. He did die. But they just didn't write it down in Acts. But I do believe after Acts chapter 13, if I remember right, he lived 30 more years. Wouldn't it be great if God left you 30 years doing something great for Him right here? Two quick things, and I promise I'll close. Number one, you don't have a graveyard here, so you're planning on nobody here dying. That's a good sign. You're not planning on death. And number two, you've got the greatest book ever written to tell you more than what I could tell you in a week. And God can do it. Let's stand tonight. Pastor, you come.